What do you do for a living?
Oh, I'm a freelance audio documentarian.
Mm. Awesome. Like podcasts and stuff?
Oh, please. Podcasts are verbal narcissism for ugly journalists. No, I tell stories through sound.
His wife makes the money.
I figured.
Nate, the pill is unhealthy, IUD, barbaric. I even tried the rhythm method once. I had two kids. Now I'm a 52-year-old with three kids. I love them, but it sucks.
Why don't you just put on a condom?
Come on, Nate, that's why we get married. Why buy the Bronco if you can't ride a bareback, right?
Oh, I adore horses.
They go in, they make a tiny little puncture, pull out the vas, snip, tie, done. In and out in 20 minutes.
And it doesn't hurt.
I ran a 10K the next day, man.
Or you could try my method, impotence.
Time is up.
It's 12 a.m. Do you know where your balls are?
In your hand?
Mm-hmm. Would you like them elsewhere?
Yes.
You don't know what this feels like.
I do?
No, you don't. Not what I'm saying. It's so... Oh, God, it feels like I'm inside the Velveteen Rabbit.
Shh, 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 shh. Don't talk, just move.
Oh, no, don't move, don't move, don't move.
I have to move, I'm gonna move.
No, you don't have to swim laps in a hot tub, do you?
God, it feels like a starfish trying to pick up a quarter off a glass table.
Is that a good thing?
It's so good.
Oh, come on, please, one shot, man, please. I just want one.
No, I want a vasectomy.
I want a crib. Isn't that weird? I want to shop for preschools. I want to take them to their first haircut and then take a piece of hair and put some tape on it and put it in a book.
No, I want to... You're back and go to Italy. Oh my God. Oh God, it's so good.
In a word, Brian, what is this job all about?
Fire.
John, hello.
How are we doing?
Good, good. Hey, Fireworks Brigade, we're back.
Episode number 46.
That's right. Wow. For those who don't know, we're a regular monthly podcast, fairly regular, I would say. We get one out pretty much every month. We feature the people and the passion of fireworks. I'm Ron the Banker. To my right, as always, good friend and co-host, proprietor of Star Fireworks.
Johnny Star.
There you go. We're sponsored by Star Fireworks, is located in Fargo, North Dakota, and we originate from all over the world. I've been doing some research. This is like an anniversary. This is like 3 years. We've recorded 45 episodes, over 56 hours with some of the top names in the industry. That's not even including the many phone conversations we've had, the interviews, but we've traveled to 5 countries, 8 states to bring this show to life, and that's again, not including the phone interviews, and we've known each other for a long time, so sometimes we do go a little bit off script, but we like to talk about fireworks. That the intro that we had here, do you know where that's from, what show that's from?
No, some of those sounded familiar, but that was a really good intro. I like that.
Yeah, that's a TV show called The Detour. It's on, I think it's on FX or something like that. It's Jason Jones and Samantha Bee, they came up with this show. It's a pretty funny show, but it's about this family with these kids, and they go on a road trip and stuff like that. But I'm the one with the kid, and you don't. I had a vasectomy, and I don't think you ever did. You never went down that road, but it really wasn't that painful.
It wasn't that painful. I've heard. I remember years ago, I took a friend to the hospital once to get that done, and I picked him up, and then he seemed like he was in pain.
Did he really?
Yeah, he seemed like he was in pain, but I never, I asked him, he was like, no, a little uncomfortable, but I guess after a few days, he was...
No, and the next day, I could have went to work.
He was fine. You didn't run a 10K after?
No, I didn't run the 10K.
You didn't run a 10K before either.
No, I didn't. I can't remember the last time I ran a 10K, but I mean, it might have been a little uncomfortable. It was no big deal.
Your doctor said you could dance after the vasectomy, and you said I couldn't dance before.
Can I play the piano? That's good. I could never play it before.
Yeah.
So, but it's no big deal. But when I saw that show, I was laughing because I picture, I know you and I, again, we've known each other for so long. I know you've probably had, it seems like you've had, to me, that would be like you in the bedroom with your wife, and she wants a kid, and you're like, no, I just want to finish on your back and go to Italy.
I like
you
that
though.
One.
It would be Cabo.
I related to that one a lot. I like can't that.
Can't we
one,
just
actually.
Can't we just forget the bassinets and the cribs and the cradles? Can't we just go to Italy, please?
Yeah, let's get a dog. That's what you know. You're not a kid. You get a dog. That's what dogs are for.
Oh man, so let's start off. Let's do a pyro purge. What have you been doing in fireworks? I know. Well, why don't you tell me what you do in fireworks in the last month since we last met?
I lit 5 items off. No, that's about it. No, actually,
and you're headed to China.
Well, I'm headed to China on the 23rd of April. So, got a lot of work to do there. Basically just check on production and find out why hasn't it shipped and when is it going to ship? So right. This way, when I come back for the big dealer show, May 6th, I got some answers for the customers. Cause you know, they're going to ask me that when's it coming in and I want to have answers for them.
Right.
So, it's going to be a short trip. China and back within like 8 or 9 days. I may come back a day later than I already booked for, but we'll see what happens.
Now, what happens if you're expecting something like the Master of Rockets, let's say, and it hasn't even been produced yet, or it looks like it's never going to get made? You just tell them scrap it?
Well, if it's not in production right now during this week, I'll say scrap it because I don't want anything coming in on June 25th again, and then China wants their money, and you got to sit on your money till next year. And,
right, you sit on the inventory,
and then it's the same thing over and over every year. So,
right,
and this, you know, basically, you know, could all be done by email, but nobody's going to tell you the truth because they don't want to hear that word out of my mouth when I say cancel. You know, it's almost like when Donald Trump says you're fired. It's the same thing when I say cancel. Like, oh no, they start to cringe. They say, no problem, no problem. And it is a problem, you know.
Right. So, well, if you're there, you can
yeah, you can say no,
law.
Cancel it, and that's it. Yeah, I'm done, you're not getting paid, and you can do whatever you want, but it's canceled in my book.
Right. Yeah, because this second trip, this is only about the third or the fourth year you've done the second trip. So this must have been done out of necessity because China might have lied to
you. Well, it was just getting out of hand. And, and they say, okay, all right, I'll take it, but then next year I'll sell it. But then next year it's 5 more items and 6 more items. And it was 5 items the year before. So it's the same. It's almost like an ongoing balance with China that you never see. So
right. And half of the fun for you is, I know you like to... It's got to be not for Dino or whoever's unloading the trucks, but seeing the new items.
It's like Christmas when I'm over there. I love it.
Right, you open the boxes. Oh, let's get.
I can't
this
wait
out.
To see the labels. First time you're seeing the labels. So I'm in China. If it is in production when I'm there, then I'll say, hey, let's take this one off the line and actually light it, so we can, you know, make sure that's what I ordered
up to your specifications. Yeah.
And that's also fun to see all your stuff piled in warehouses, and this one's going out, and then you become like a logistics coordinator. When I'm there, I'm like, well, how many CBM does she have? And we just kind of go back and forth. We put it all on a spreadsheet and say, okay, when are we shipping this and that? So, and that right now it gets kind of hectic because all these people are finally, they had all year, but now they're finally all getting finished at the same time. And now we're fighting for container space. So it's a pretty interesting trip.
Well, and that's basically what you do is you trade your dollars for product, and then you trade the product back for dollars. But if you pay those dollars and then the product's sitting in your warehouse for a year, and then it's like premature. You open all this stuff up, but it's July 5th. There's nothing you can do with it. I mean, you got PGI, you got NFA, you got
little sales
stuff
here and there. But
nothing compares to the seasonality of the 4th of July. And then, you know, a little premature, you're just like, oh, now what do? I got to wait a year.
And then you got to wait a year.
Yeah.
And then same item, you know, then another 10 items from next year is the same thing. So you're always, it's just
you're
an
just
ongoing
chasing your
balance.
Tail. Right. So this way you go to China now, you tell them, hey, look, it's not, you're not even moving on this thing. We're done.
Yeah, it's done. Yeah, if it's not in production, if it's not even on the assembly line yet, no, I don't want it.
You gotta get rid of it. Yeah. You got to get rid of it. So, all right. And before we go, before we do any news stories, because typically what we do are some news stories, I figured we can maybe talk a little bit about fireworks and the, considering we do talk about fireworks, we'll talk about, like, let's talk about consumer versus commercial and the difference and the different types. So, you go to page five, your notes. So, and this comes, consumer fireworks. So there's the two different fireworks, and correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes.
There's commercial and there's consumer, right?
Yes.
All right. And so Star Fireworks deals strictly with consumer fireworks.
Consumer fireworks, yes.
Right. And those are the fireworks sold to the general public for use, and they're generally weaker in explosive power compared to professional displays. So that's the professional ones. So there's class C. What class are they considered?
We are class C, consumer fireworks.
And what's professional consumer?
Class B.
Class B.
Yes,
commercial fireworks are Class B.
Class B, yes.
So that, and you need a different license.
A license for Class B. You got storage issues. You got a lot of laws that come along with Class B, that different transportation laws as well. So there's a lot of things that separate Class B from Class C merchandise.
So do you have a Class B license?
No.
No, you don't. So, and I would assume to get a Class B license, there's more costs involved. The insurance costs are more. Everything is going to be more.
There's more costs. There's more insurance costs. Storage is a different, completely whole different animal. And then there's different classes of storage. Storage, you have to have everything in a bunker, which could be. A bunker could be one of our containers with a hooded lock over it. And so many feet away from any residential.
Oh, okay.
So many feet away from any other buildings.
Is shipping different, too? They have to ship it differently?
Shipping's a little different. And then now they want you to, the Class B professional fireworks that just go boom would be like, a 3-inch salute shell. They want those actually kept separate from the color shells, which completely makes no sense. But
why? Yeah.
Once again, the biggest trouble with Class B is, after 9/11, everything is so highly regulated by so many different agencies that it almost makes it. I'm sure that's probably one of the reasons when we get to our next story why Bart Allotta closed, because it's probably just got to a point where it's just not fun anymore.
Was he
and
class
it's not
B?
Worth it. He was Class B, Class B.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, yeah, we'll get to that story in a minute. Okay, well, good. Well, so that's good knowledge. So some examples. Consumer fireworks are often quite small and can be classified into three groups. Basically, and if you think there's more, let me know. But there's daytime, nighttime, and novelty. Now, nighttime can include a bunch of things, whether it's reloadables or the cakes all that stuff. So first is daytime, includes most bottle rockets, smoke balls, firecrackers, and other fireworks that emit very little or no light. Some examples of daytime consumer fireworks that would be your bottle rockets. People just, people love the bottle rockets. There's always an issue with bottle rockets. I'm surprised at some of the local governments that they have an issue with just bottle rockets, which amazes me.
Like North Dakota, we're not allowed to sell bottle rockets anymore in North Dakota. Once again, they use that bottle rocket item because it's a very popular item. And they use that most of the time, and like they did in North Dakota, they use that as a way to introduce other laws retaining the fireworks based on the safety of bottle
rockets.
It's
just a casualty of some government bureaucracy.
Yeah, and it's basically, it's the law to outlaw bottle rockets for safety, but then on the bottom of that bill is also, hey, let's have the season longer so we can leave the fireworks in the big box stores longer. And that was kind of what they used one to get the other one.
So it became a casualty.
Yeah.
Yeah. So some other daytime firecrackers, smoke balls, multiple rocket launchers. That's like the Saturn missile battery, right? So.
Yeah. And the most popular daytime item would be parachutes.
Parachutes, yeah, daytime parachutes.
Yeah, we have parachute Roman candles now. We got parachute.
You have daytime
cakes.
Roman candles?
Yeah, we got daytime parachute Roman candles.
Oh, so the Roman candle shoots out parachutes.
Shoots out a parachute. So
I used to love
those
parachutes when I was a kid because you would chase the parachute.
Chase them,
try and catch it. Yeah.
Dogs love them. Yeah.
They chase the little parachute.
Yeah,
guy.
Chase
there
the little
parachute.
They look up. They run it.
So then you got nighttime fireworks. So that would be your repeaters. 500 grams of gunpowder, which thanks to Camstar, that's why we have those. You got Roman candles, and these are all nighttime. Sparklers. Some people do sparklers in the day. You could do sparklers in the day.
Yeah, I'd definitely say it's a daytime item as well.
Artillery shells, jumping jacks. Is that the little?
See, I always thought jumping jacks were more of a daytime item, too. But they do
both.
They do have light to them. So,
you could do both. Artificial satellites, I don't know what that is. Small planes that spin quickly.
Those.
Okay, skyrockets, fountains. You have a daytime fountain too, don't you? Don't you sell a daytime fountain? I thought you had one, no?
No, just maybe, no daytime fountain at all.
And strobes, you could do strobes in the day. I've done strobes in the day.
Yeah, you'd still
before.
See them.
At nighttime, they're obviously a little bit more, it's a little bit more dramatic, but you could still do a strobe in the daytime. And then you got the third type is novelty fireworks, which is your party poppers, your snaps, your flying lanterns, paper tanks, party bombs, ground bloom flowers. snakes. The amount of people that come in to Star Fireworks to buy the novelty stuff, that stuff is just, they put it in the bag and they go nuts.
And that's
that
one
stuff.
Of the reasons why we have like two big aisles just for kids, so they can come in and get one tank, they can get in and get one little box of snakes if they want it, you know.
Right.
Novelty items are something I grew up on as a kid, and then also
me too.
They're very affordable, and sometimes they don't always work well, but that's one of the reasons why, you know, we put so much emphasis on making good quality novelties, because nothing's worse than buying a cheap novelty, but it doesn't work. You know, it doesn't matter how right. much it costs. You still want it to work. So,
well, yeah, if you're buying a novelty and it doesn't work, and then the kids, and then they just come back and they complain. So,
yeah.
what's
so you really want to put a lot of effort into very good quality novelty items, but you know, they are getting harder and harder to find because it's a very cheap, labor intensive item that comes multiple, many in the pack. So, of course, the factories would rather just make a 500-gram cake and put one
money.
In a box and ship it to you. So,
well, yeah. didn't you say that's why maybe some of the fireworks production is going to India?
Yeah,
yeah. So China doesn't want to make the small stuff anymore.
Yeah.
Let's see what else we got. Regulations. Let's see. Finland fireworks, other than novelties and sparklers, are sold usually between Christmas and New Year. Germany, fireworks are available for purchase from most states in the days prior to New Year's Eve.
Yes.
Iceland fireworks are sold December 28th through the 31st and again on January 6th.
See, the whole European market, when I go there now in April, I'm going to see a lot of Europeans there buying for their season.
You're going to Europe in April?
No. When I go to China in April, I'll see many Europeans there buying. They're doing their buying
right.
for their season.
Oh, okay, yeah. So you'll run into a lot of them.
So I'll run into a lot of them. And when I'm there in October, they're there checking on their production of why these items haven't shipped. So when I'm there late September, I run into them because they're going, I can't believe this. I haven't
right.
got any, you know, containers, and we share war stories back and forth.
They're doing your April trip in September.
So
right,
we're kind of reversed. You
right,
know?
Right, right. Oh, yeah, that makes complete sense.
Yeah.
Netherlands, fireworks cannot be sold to anyone under the age of 16 and only sold the last 3 days up until and including December 31st. Unless one of those days is a Sunday, then the sales period is extended. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Fireworks may only be fired between 6 p.m. on New Year's Eve and 2 a.m. on the following day. Norway, fireworks can only be purchased by people 18 and older. Class 1, 2, and 3 fireworks are for sale from December 27th through the 31st. UK cannot be sold to people under 18.
Oh, okay.
US, we know there's all the different states that, you know, each state has its own different type of thing. So, you know, if you want to go on Wikipedia or just check your local, your local state, whatever, you could check on online. You can find out what's what's legal for you to sell and what's legal for you to buy.
Yeah. Well, it seems like this is interesting. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo signed into bill in 2014 allowing sparklers, party poppers, cone fountains, and other novelty items to be sold, possessed, and used in the state of New York outside of New York City. So once again, the state allows a lot of stuff, but the cities like Chicago will never allow
right.
certain things. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And that's, we've had that discussion with many people on the phone from other countries,
yes.
and they can't believe how bifurcated it is with each state. And then it even goes below the state level to the county level or
the
city
level.
And then you're just like, really, you know, you drive across the line and next thing you know, you're in trouble. So,
yeah.
So, all right. Well, that was good. So that's a lot of information for our listeners. And now let's get into some more of the, let's get into our typical show. We got some fireworks news, page 14 we got here.
Yes.
This is, I don't know if you know this gentleman, Bob Yale. So he was a fireworks entrepreneur and a musician. He was 61 years old and he died East Norwich. Where's Norwich? I thought I had it. Did I have it? Michigan.
Michigan.
Yeah, yeah. Turned his talent for music and pyrotechnics into jaw-dropping fireworks displays at Jones Beach State Park, Shea Stadium, Walt Disney World, and elsewhere.
Wow.
The founder of the former Bay Fireworks of Huntington died March 30th of pancreatic cancer. He started Bay Fireworks in 1985 with his mother, Dee Dee Yale Hirsch. They had a credit line of $2,000, and their first show in upstate Lake Placid paid $600. Bob loved fireworks. He was obsessed with fireworks, and he got to know everybody in the business. He was respected in the industry. So,
wow.
And it's sad to see him go. We hate to, you know, anybody who's obsessed with fireworks and has the passion for the fireworks and the pyro is somebody we like. Bay Fireworks grew rapidly, annual revenue topping $1 million. While still operating out of the Yale family home in Norwich, Bay Fireworks vied with fireworks by Grucci. I've heard of them.
Yeah, Grucci.
Of Bellport for many local shows.
Wow.
There you go. So Bob Yale, big bucket of
that's a
win
shame
for him.
Yep.
All right. So in our next story, fireworks fundraising. So this one, there's a policy change, and this is in Kansas. And I thought, I don't know if you've ever thought of this or if somebody's ever done this. It's almost like Girl Scout cookies. So a recent policy change in Kansas, the Kansas Fire Marshal is giving groups an opportunity to raise money through the sale of fireworks. Previously, organizations had to acquire a license and operate their own stand in order to sell fireworks. But now they had a legislator who had received interest from his constituents for being able to sell fireworks for fundraising.
Hmm.
So, in 2015's consumers, so this is their backup data. In 2015, consumers spent $755 million on strobes, sparklers, and other items that make light and sound, according to the APA, the American Pyrotechnics Association. But the cost and the logistics associated with running a fireworks stand, including licensing fees and the hours of work that had to be put in to the endeavor, was prohibited to many groups. So as of March 30th in Kansas, organizations now are able to sell fireworks in partnership with a licensed Kansas retailer. So funds can be raised by either taking pre-orders for fireworks or having customers purchase them at a retailer with the understanding that a portion will be given to the group. Fundraising groups will have to negotiate how pre-ordering works and what percentage of sales is earned with the fireworks retailer. So it's a way for you to increase the business, and it's a way for, you know, the baseball team or whatever to raise money, because everybody buys fireworks around the 4th of July. But I guess before you couldn't do it because you needed to have a license, and that was cost prohibitive. But now they've changed the rules around. So is that anything you've ever done at Star?
Well, we have... we've had tents over the years set up and buy from us, but we never did any type of fundraiser. But we do fundraiser with our fireworks through our retail store,
the lanterns.
The lanterns. All the sale of lanterns went to Nokomis Children 1 year. Then we were selling that something for Harley Davidson. Every time something was sold, you know, then so much money went to the bikers cures for cancer and stuff like that. So we did money fun. We have done many fundraisers with the sale of items.
A specific item. Right.
So anyone who comes in and buys, Master Rockets, we would donate so much money to whatever we decided to do. You know?
Right, right.
We've done them for breast awareness, cancer with the sky balloons, and we did it with the heart sparklers.
Oh, yeah.
We did it with the Sky Lanterns, Heart Sparklers. We did certain assortments. So basically, the organization picks one product, and we just promote people to buy that product because a portion of it will go back to that fund.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean,
it's kind of fun.
Yeah, and they do fundraisers out here in Chicago where, you know, if you're trying to raise money for the school or the hockey team or whatever, you can go to the local restaurant, tell them you're with the hockey team, and then... like 20% of the proceeds goes to the hockey team. You can do the same thing.
And then we also did a lot of fundraisers for the schools with the confetti poppers.
So
they'd set up a table and basically sell them there. That's where every time their home team scored a game, they would shoot confetti over and stuff.
If they won the game?
Yeah.
I'm sure the janitor was...
Yeah. It was. It actually works out really good, though, because... and then we do that chuck-a-puck as well.
We do
different things like that as well.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Who gets the money for the chuck-a-puck?
It goes for some fund for the hockey thing or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know exactly. Well, we sponsor
the chuck-a-puck, and then we put a prize out there, so whoever gets that. So it's just a way of advertising, and the money goes to them. So
Yeah. Well, and it's something you don't really ever think of as fundraising through fireworks.
Yeah.
So here's another one. Here's another story. This is Seabrook. And this is in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Fireworks store suing town over discriminatory fees. So several fireworks retailers are taking the town to court, claiming they're getting socked with $7,000 annual licensing fees, while other retailers are paying just
$25. Now, that's an interesting story. It hits home because the man responsible for opening up Seabrook, New Hampshire, Larry the Liquidator Lomaz himself.
Really?
Yeah, Larry Lomaz from Midwest Fireworks actually opened up Seabrook, New Hampshire. He was.
What do you mean he opened it up?
Well, before they allowed fireworks, he went there and lobbied for fireworks. He fought the town for fireworks. And there's articles in my what I call the Larry Lomas file.
That's got to be a huge file.
It's a huge file. Yeah,
bigger than the Dino file.
Yeah, most of our bills he owes me, but you know, not going to collect on those. But no. You know, Larry was famous for news stories and having his picture taken all over. So there's many
really?
Clips. Yeah. I think if you just
Google Larry,
if you Google Larry Lomas, you're gonna find more articles.
How do you spell his last name?
Lomaz.
Okay.
But so he's been a icon in the fireworks industry for many years. Operated very successfully in the early years. Had a lot of problems throughout his life, and then eventually he did pass away at a young age. But he was the one that actually spent the money and fought with the towns and lawsuits and everything else, and he finally did win.
But he enjoyed that.
Yeah, he did enjoy that.
I don't know much about Larry, but I knew that.
Yeah, and then, but which leads me to believe when I was talking to a good Chinese friend here, a couple weeks ago at Panera Bread, and he, I don't know if I mentioned before, but, sometimes you could say something, it doesn't even click, and I say something doesn't even click, but for some reason, right. The way Chinese people speak, and the way they say it, all of a sudden, it was like Confucius say,
I think that might be borderline racist.
Well, it is borderline racist, but so I was talking to this kid at Panera Bread, and we're having lunch, and we're talking about whatever, and basically, he said, I learned one thing in the United States, of course, that's the way he says it,
Right. I learned one thing, I better listen.
I learned one thing in the United States, that you don't have to be a leader, just a fast follower. So see, I even like the way they said fast follower, F's together. It's just the way they speak and the way they say it.
Right.
And all of a sudden it clicks, Chinese guy told me, he says, your country spends so much money protecting yourselves against the very same people they let in. And they say it and it clicks. Donald Trump says it, he gets booed off the stage. But, it's the bottom line. But so, and, once again, Larry opened up Seabrook, New Hampshire, spent all this money, and all the followers came in anyways. And eventually he pulled out of Seabrook, New Hampshire because he wasn't, making enough money or just didn't work out the way he wanted to. But he spent all this money opening it up, and then the fast followers came in, and got in.
Right.
So now we have this article here where they're charging $7,000 in licensing fees, and other retailers are paying $25 and $30.
Yeah, so there's companies there that are suing. The suit was filed by Atomic, if you've heard of any of these.
Yes.
Atomic Fireworks, Fantasy Fireworks, Rockingham Fireworks Manufacturing Company, mm-hmm. Rudy Fireworks, Fireworks Over the Border, Inc., and Phantom Fireworks.
Yes.
So all those companies have filed a suit against Seabrook claiming discriminatory fees. Basically this fee goes back to 1990. They approved charging an inspection fee for businesses that included fireworks companies. So the $7,000 fee annually, while companies like a fireworks guy is going to pay $7,000 annually, while companies like Walmart, Lowe's, and the owner of the Seabrook. So now this one is wild. So the owner of the Seabrook Station nuclear power plant pays $25. That's what this story is saying. That if the Seabrook Station nuclear power plant pays $25 for their inspection, while Atomic Fireworks pays $7,000 fee annually, but that's because there's so much money in fireworks too, and guys like Larry Lomas saw the draw of. I mean, if you would have told me Larry opened up a place in Vegas or Ohio, obviously, or even somewhere close, but. I mean, my geography is off, but New Hampshire is nowhere close to anywhere that Larry used to like to go. How did he just throw a dartboard at
New Hampshire is probably, once again, my geography is terrible also, but Seabrook, New Hampshire probably borders a state that is illegal. So that means people would come over a state line to New Hampshire to get the fireworks and go
back. Right. So that's the way you pick.
That's the way you pick your states.
Yeah, you pick a state where it's my, is that
like Indiana?
Star Fireworks Chicago, is so Star close fireworks, to Minnesota, right?
Minnesota, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So the fireworks company maintained that the fireworks companies maintain that the fees, I'm on page 19, mm-hmm. that the fees should be considered invalid because they bear no relation to the time and money spent on enforcement. They also argue that the ordinance allowing the fees is unconstitutional because it is arbitrary and discriminatory in its treatment of fireworks retailers. The suit asks the court to reimburse the fireworks companies all the fees they have paid. The businesses also want to be reimbursed for legal fees. Basically, what they're saying is this inspection would take 15 minutes to do. So they go out there and inspect this for 15 minutes, and they just want to charge you.
So I would like to know what happens in the case of Walmart because they sell fireworks at Walmart through Phantom Fireworks or TNT, I'm not sure which controls those fireworks there, is Walmart paying $7,000 and $25 because they're being inspected twice?
No, I think they would only pay $25 because they just, you know, they mostly sell other stuff.
Yeah.
The way this story makes it sound is it just the fireworks guys.
Well, that's my point.
Right.
So basically, I think that if Walmart's going to carry fireworks, then they should be paying $7,000 because at that one time of year, just like the fireworks stands, they have fireworks in them.
Right.
So they should be on the same
level. Should be.
But it's still arbitrage.
It's way too much money.
Way
too much. And I actually pulled some information about Seabrook. I must have known. It's border of Massachusetts. It's noted as a location of the Seabrook Nuclear Power Station.
Yeah.
The third most recently constructed nuclear power plant in the United States. I've never ever even heard of Seabrook, New Hampshire.
That's the only reason I heard of it, because I, you know, once, you know, when I was a little kid in Larry Lomas's office, I was looking on the walls, reading all his articles, you know, and
There you go.
That's very interesting.
Notable people, nobody good. Mitch Whitnow, Scotty Lago, bronze medalist snowboarder.
Snowboarding.
No idea. All right, let's go on to the next one. All right, this gentleman, I think you know, or this company, this is Bartolotta?
Bartolotta Fireworks.
In Wisconsin.
Wow. This is terrible. Oh, sold to Wolverine.
You know Wolverine as well.
Yes, know Wolverine as well. Wow. Okay.
Longtime Wisconsin firework distributor will be closing its doors as president of Bartolotta Fireworks, Jeff Bartolotta, announced his company was sold to Michigan-based Wolverine Fireworks Tuesday. Now, is Wolverine a bigger company? It is now.
It is now. I think they're probably about the same. Maybe Wolverine might be a little bigger. Maybe Bartolotti did a lot of shows, but he mostly did a lot of shows in Milwaukee. You know, he was very big in the Italian community. So obviously, he was one of my close friends because of the Italian community. But he was a pretty good sized company.
Yeah,
many years. I'm sure it says in here. I mean, his father, the sons, I mean, you know.
It comes with great sadness that I have to inform you Bartolotta Fireworks, as it stands, is closing. I am, however, excited to announce that Bartolotta Fireworks is becoming Wolverine as the largest distributor of firework products. Wolverine has long been a valued friend and a colleague in the industry. Moving forward, I will remain your contact. So basically, he's, you know, maybe it's not really a function of the marketplace or whatever. It's just, is he an older gentleman or?
This is the son now. So let's see. Ensure that his valued customer, same level of professionalism and safety as it has for the last 39 years.
Yeah, so they've been 40 years.
40 years. I love fireworks and look forward to continuing to entertain and work with all of you. Okay. Yeah. Jeff Bartolotta. They've had a couple, accidents, you know, they lost a couple children in there, or one or couple workers. I think one was
really
one of his sons.
Holy cow!
So they've had their share of ups and downs, but always a good company.
Well, now we know that Bartolotta is now Wolverine.
So,
and do you run into? I mean, because being a banker, I run into banks that I know. If somebody's competing with me for the same real estate deal, I'll know if you run into this bank or that bank, it's trouble. You know who your competition is. Do you ever run up against Wolverine?
Oh, no, because they're Class B.
Oh, that's
they're
right.
Both Class B companies.
Yeah.
We see Bartolotta in Vegas. I run into them in Milwaukee. Don't know anyone from Wolverine because I don't never done any business with them in our, you know, in our industry because they're Class B. But I've heard of them. You know, they've been around for a long time as well.
Okay. Next, page 20.
We're just ripping through these
today.
I know.
Look at that. But we're very fireworks oriented.
Yeah. Well, it's getting close to the season. You know,
this is true.
There's no sense in boring people with fireworks when it's too cold. To, you know, they're watching. They can't even see ice melt.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Zambelli. Do you know Zambelli?
Yes.
They pled guilty. They're in Pittsburgh.
Yes.
They pled guilty to not reporting stolen fireworks. Zambelli International must pay $200,000 in penalties for not reporting the loss of some 63,000 commercial, again, they're Class B, commercial grade fireworks stolen by a former employee in 2014. The U.S. district judge immediately ordered the business to pay $195,000, which will go to the ATF, and they're going to have a big party with that, and a $5,000 fine. The amounts were worked out in a plea deal with federal prosecutors who refused comment. We regret the situation. We accept responsibility, and we would like to move on, said attorney Barry Hartman, who entered the plea deal on behalf of Zambelli. The company had previously been suspended from selling or shipping fireworks for 2 weeks from March 5th through March 19th, although all employees still reported to work. That would be a horrible if all employees have to report to work but they can't sell anything.
Yeah, let's see. The that says, oh, from selling or shipping fireworks for 2 weeks from March 5th through March. So from March 5th through March 19th, they weren't allowed
to sell,
to
or
sell
ship.
Any ship, but they were still, but the employees were still reported to work.
They're just sweeping the floor.
So, yeah, they didn't give the employees any time off.
Right.
Think, you know, they, of course, I mean, we do the same thing all winter long. We have no business, but we still pay the employees because we would lose them if we didn't. So
yeah. Well,
it was
I guess
for them to do.
Yeah, I guess state police discovered the stolen fireworks in an employee's house. I wonder how much it could have been. Let's see. The worker was fired, but it wasn't clear Monday if he was prosecuted or what happened in the case. Another lawyer representing Zambelli said they didn't know the results of the investigation, although they said the stolen fireworks have not been returned to Zambelli. In such cases, Mr. Hartman said police retained the stolen explosives. So they got the cash and the explosives.
Wow.
But it didn't really, it doesn't really say how much do you think. Wow, Zambelli was founded in 1893. Holy cow. How much fireworks do you think you'd have to lose to get fined $200,000? Is there a scale, the loss to fine ratio?
When you look at this, at the statutes, they're so convoluted,
right,
that it really doesn't make sense. And
is there something more, like, suspect that there was something a little more nefarious going on here? Usually you can see through the headline and say, well, maybe they did this and did that and they're just covering up, but you just think this is a case of
all smoke and mirrors. It's all smoke and mirrors.
There, yeah, I think we got the title. It's all smoke and mirrors.
Zambelli got paid for their fireworks. Somehow they went out the back door, and you know, but they got paid, and they wound up catching them somewhere else. The guy's not going to say bought them from Zambelli.
Allegedly,
he's going to say, yeah, I stole them, and then Zambelli probably gave him $15,000 and said, okay, just take off next year and come back to work when all this blows over. All smoke and mirrors.
We'll say allegedly.
Allegedly, it's all allegedly. I mean, you know, Michigan woman allegedly chokes teen. Allegedly,
yeah. Next story on page 27: Michigan woman chokes teen over fireworks.
Allegedly.
Allegedly chokes teen for blocking view of fireworks at Disney World.
Okay,
so
but basically,
look at her picture.
If her hands, once again, it's all in the court system. But if your hands are around somebody's neck, it's not allegedly. You're choking him.
Let's see. A Michigan woman was charged with child abuse after a less than magical fireworks show at Disney World. Tabitha K. Mature, 41, she's not very mature, was booked Wednesday for allegedly choking a teenager who was blocking her view during the show. The unidentified girl and her high school classmates were getting ready to watch the fireworks go off at the Magic Kingdom and stood up as the show began. Mature and her family were behind the group and reportedly asked them to sit down. Even though the students decided to leave, Mature became aggressive. So the students said, okay, that's fine, I'm getting out of here. But this lady became aggressive, and the girls even said, you can take our spot. The girl said she and her friends were leaving. Rather than gladly accepting the offer, this lady had a different reaction. She wrapped both hands around this. Now, this is the girl talking.
Mm-hmm.
She wrapped both hands around my neck and began squeezing, the teenager told police, adding that when she started screaming, Mature let go and said, you don't want to mess with me. The victim suffered no visible injuries, and Mature was released from the Orange County Jail after posting $2,000 in bail.
Okay, so basically, once again, I see through this story.
Oh, yeah, there's another one. All right.
Well, you know,
instead of what would Johnny do, is what does Johnny see?
First of all, this lady was in a pissed off mood anyway. She's 41 years old. She's probably got three screaming kids. She's been walking around.
Her husband didn't have a vasectomy.
Yeah, she's been walking around Disney World all day trying to feed them cotton candy, listen to them whine and crying. It's hot. I mean, anyone who knows and takes and has taken kids to Disneyland knows that
it's a day.
It's a day. And on the tram and bus, I always laugh. They're all falling asleep. The father's asleep. The wife's asleep. Yeah. The kids are all sleeping. So she was already in an aggravated mood.
It's not the happiest place on earth.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, now she just wants to see the fireworks show. And this girl did nothing to her, but she's standing in her way. It's a fireworks show. Look up in the air. It's not a rock concert. You're not looking. I'm not trying to, you know, I always sit behind a tall guy trying to see what Adele looks like. I mean, but this is.
Well, that's true. It's fireworks.
It's a firework. You're looking up.
In front of you? It just looks straight up.
I mean, so, but it's all bad timing for this other lady.
So, and if you look at the picture of her, she does look like she was a little pissed off.
She looks very, very mean. Very, very mean.
And this lady in our next story, she looks, this lady looks nasty too. This is from around here. Ingleside woman pleads guilty to stealing Chain o' Lakes fireworks funds. There's not much to this story. I love the picture. Her name is Noreen Michael. She's 50 of Ingleside. She looks like Throw Mama from the Train.
This is a reason, though. This lady's 50 years old. If this isn't a reason not to get married, nothing is. I mean, that is a reason that you don't want to get married, because she's going to look like that and she's going to steal your fireworks money.
Yeah. So. She's the co-founder and past president of the now defunct Chain o' Lakes Fireworks Group, and she's pleaded guilty to charges she stole donated money earmarked for a fireworks show over Fox Lake. So she pleaded guilty to one count of misdemeanor theft in Lake County Court, Assistant Lake County State's Attorney George Pappas said. I think she's given the money back. She's already paid $5,000 of the tab and has 12 months to pay the remaining $2,300. So at least she's making good on it, but,
basically the other fireworks company is probably missing three cases. They get fined $200,000 because they're a big company and the ATF has that power. And then this woman steals the money that should have went to pay that fireworks company for the fireworks. Right. And she just has to pay back her $7,300.
Yes, exactly. All right. Well, let's take a little break.
As Rodney Dangerfield said, I get no respect.
No respect.
No respect in this world.
We're going to take a little break. And I actually have, I got a surprise for you. So we'll take a little break. And then we haven't done a Pyro Playhouse in a while. So we're going to do a Pyro Playhouse. And then we got some more stories. We got to go over our tournament of BAM. We got the results. And last time you loved all the stories about Fargo. We're good. You loved all the stories about Fargo. So I got a few here, and you can pick one or pick none or whatever you want to do. And then, so, but let's take a little break first.
Sounds good.
The Fireworks Brigade is what will make America great again.
Marky got with Sharon, and Sharon got Sharia. She was sharing Sharon's outlook on the top.
In the Independence Days, really something. A day that's really grand. When lighting firecrackers, don't hold them. When they go off, all your fingers get fried, and you'll be left with only stubs. An ugly sight, ugly sight, ugly sight. Independence Day's really something. A day that's really grand. When lighting firecrackers, don't hold them.
How'd you like our Trump little bumpers there?
Yeah.
Do you don't think he sounds like Trump?
No, I don't think so.
You don't think it sounds like Trump? Come on. Not at all?
No. Mm-mm.
You don't think they sound like Trump? No. Did I waste $5?
Too nasally, I think, for Trump.
I wasted $5 on this?
$5.
You're
done.
You're listening to the tremendous Johnny Starr and the unbelievable Ron the Bunker.
Instead of
searching the internet for Russian
spies, what if I put like more presidential music behind him instead of the rock music? Think that would be better?
Yeah, I think we have to get Donald Trump.
Well, yeah, I'll let you work on that. I'll work on the other guests. All right, so this is a Pyro Playhouse. Nothing to do with Pyro, but I've been talking to you about this TV show, and I know you'll really like it. So this is Billions, and it's on Showtime. It's a television drama created by David Levinson, Andrew Ross Sorkin. It stars Paul Giamatti and Damian Lewis, and the series is loosely based on the activities of a crusading federal prosecutor of financial crimes and also this billionaire hedge fund guy. So Paul Giamatti, the guy with the beard, this guy here on the screen.
Yep.
He's the federal agent, all right? And then the other guy that you'll see, he's the hedge fund billionaire. So, and some of the backstory is Giamatti's wife works for the other guy, and there's a lot of, you know, a lot of shadiness going on, and he's trying to catch him doing something bad. So this is the final scene of season one, and the billionaire had just heard that the feds had his place bugged. So he went to his place and he basically demolished his whole place looking for a bug, but it was false. There was no bug. But anyway, this last scene here, this is more of like a civics lesson. You know, the billionaire basically is saying, what am I doing wrong? I'm just making money. It's just taxation by some other means. It kind of reminds me of, you know, whenever you're complaining about the government. So let's watch this and then we don't.
And it's my job to shut him down and put him in jail.
Well, if that's true, you're not very good at it. You're also full of shit. What have I done wrong? Really? Except make money. Succeed. All these rules and regulations.
Sounds familiar.
Chalked up by politicians for their own ends. And these fines you're always going after, where do they go? Who gets them? The poor? No. The treasury. The government. It's taxation by other means.
Save the civics lesson and the Ayn Rand
bullshit. I'm going to have to edit this.
The fines are the minimum of what you should have to pay.
Oh, you decide what cases to take, and you only take the cases you won't lose. But you got it wrong with me. Because this country was built on industry and competition. So they will always have a place for me.
And maybe a few generations from now, they'll tell stories about you. Like they do Jesse James or Billy the Kid. Oh, the myth is so romantic. The rugged individual who won't back down to the unimaginative do-gooder authorities. Only in reality, those guys stole and hurt and destroyed lives. Now, you say you don't think you've harmed anyone. I say that the effect is the same. Worse even, because you infect the entire world. You throw the whole system off balance, leaving chaos and poverty in your wake.
I make the system. I have contributed hundreds of millions of dollars in taxes and philanthropy. I employ hundreds of people directly, thousands indirectly. What do you do? Nothing.
Take a government check.
From the municipality, feed off of it. And in exchange, you what? Keep order? You're a traffic cop hiding in federal robes.
I'm moved. That is gonna play huge to the other guys on your cell block. Oh, you're sure to become president of the Libertarian Club of Danbury Federal Prison. Because no matter what you say, that's where you're ending up. Keep that as a memento. Every time you look at it, know that deal is as good as it is ever going to get for you. And one day you are going to wish like hell that it was still on the table.
And you should have kept half of that for yourselves, too. Because when I pull a deal off the table, I leave Nagasaki behind.
That's a great show.
That's a good show. I saw it a little bit when it was. Well, I don't have Showtime. I'm a fixed income, and I don't want to.
We can go there. But, we can set that up for you.
I'm hoping I can get it. See, I can't even get it on demand because you're not allowed to have on demand unless you have Showtime for a Showtime episode.
Right.
But anyways, I saw bits and pieces of it. When usually the billionaire wins, you said he was having a bad day, but he was coming back though. When I was leaving, he was on his way back up. I could tell.
Yeah. It goes back and forth. It's a great show. It's
a good show. And I love that. I love those lines because it's basically the government official looks at you like you're just big evil person and they're this do-gooder. And bottom line is you're a businessman trying to get by in a world where big government plays a big role.
Right. But at the same time, the government guy, he's doing shady things, too, to catch them. It's just entrapment. And I don't know how true it is. It's obviously a TV show. But the things that he does to try and trap Axe, his name is Axelrod, but Axe, the things that he does to try and trap Axe. And now in this season, there's even some shady land deal that, you know, that they steered away from Axe and really pissed him off because there was a casino involved and all this stuff and it went away. But then who benefited because they changed the location of the casino? The government guy's father. You know what I mean? And it's like, you can't, but when Axe finds out about that, he's, and there's a scene in this year, this season, where Axe goes into the club. They're all at the Yale club, and he just goes in there, and he just lays into him. I know what you and your daddy did. You should, yeah. You know, it's a great show.
Yeah, and basically, it's so true. I mean, we see it all the time in our industry, and it's very upsetting. And as a business owner, you're trying to get by, and the government guy's just worried about his pension, and he's worried about his where he's going to take his 4-week vacation,
right.
And, you know, we went round and round a while back when the government wanted to change all the EX numbers. And they were behind 6-7 months on EX numbers. Well, what do we do for this season? What are we going to do for product?
Right.
Well, I don't, you know, none of them had an answer because it doesn't affect their life.
Right.
It
affects the business. They get to go home and have dinner.
Just, you know.
Like the guy who wanted you to sit by the truck. I'm going home, but he wanted you to stay there.
But I'm
going to
stay there for 24 hours, no. You know. And if you let people get away with this. Well, this is why the whole thing boils down. We're in this position because we put ourselves in there. The government has just overstepped, and now we're trying to take it back, and God only knows if it'll ever work.
All right. Let's do our...
We'll get me started.
Here's our NCAA... Well, not the NCAA, but this is the Tournament of BAM. All right. You didn't give any of these, we got... You remember this. Here, I'll give you one of them.
Yeah, no.
So we had the J-Star bracket versus the Ron the Banker bracket, and ended up, we'll just go over the highlights here. So the special mention, we had about, I would say about 3 dozen people send them in, so we had quite a few. The Judgment Day and Orange Crush were special mention.
What special mention?
Special mention, third and fourth place.
Oh, third.
The runner-up was Die Hard, came in second. I think that was your winner, wasn't it?
I think so, yeah.
And then the champion, the grand champion was, and I'm proud to say, Master of Rockets.
I did kind of figure that. How did I know that was going
to
get
the Master of Rockets was the grand champion. I can't wait to see that.
Yeah, again, it's probably because of your name. You know, Master of Rockets. You know, good name sells fireworks.
I know. I hope. I'm hoping that's your bestseller this year.
I hope so, too.
We
certainly got a lot of cases of it.
How many cases do you have?
A lot.
Do you?
Yeah, because you want to put your special label on there. So, you know.
All right, this page here, 34. We talked about this, you and me personally. I just wanted to bring it up. This is more about this arbitrage. This is where the House in Illinois, they were going to spend $1.5 million on a service to translate the website where you could do it on Google for free.
Yeah, so you're starting me again.
Yeah. Well, and the funny thing is,
you want to see me salty, don't you?
Salty. What the funny thing is, and you and I talked about this, they should try and find the guy who gave them the $1.5 million bid, because the guy could have just said, you could do this for free. But the government was, until a last-minute bailout or whatever, the Illinois government, in their divine wisdom and ways, they were ready to pay $1.5 million service to have their the translation software on their website. But again, Google does it for free.
And they were probably going to pay $1.5 million to some government official's father.
Right, who owns a company that does this kind of
stuff. Or someone's son. Yeah. And then someone said, hey, Google does it. And the guy's like, well, yeah, but it's not as good as my kids. You know, that's basically what happens.
Yeah, well, that's the state of Illinois for you.
Yeah,
so.
Well, yeah.
Here's another goofy story.
Meanwhile, the governor doesn't take a paycheck because he's concerned about it.
I like Rounder, but, you know, there's nobody in, it's not many people in the state who like him, but he's trying to do what he needs to do.
Yeah, exactly. That's what, you know, but see, unfortunately, you know, there's that, you know, when 52% of the people work for the government, they really don't want to things work for the government. They don't want to think things work for the state. They want to just see things work for them. You know? So that's the problem.
All right, here's another one. Phone device tests male fertility with 98% accuracy. I just want to know how this works. You're going to, like, tool yourself off into your phone? I don't know how this works, but a new smartphone attachment can evaluate a man's semen and determine his level of fertility up to, I think we're having a theme here with this show. We had this earlier.
Yeah.
Up to 98%. The new technology, consisting of an external, I hope it's an external accessory, in which sperm samples are inserted and a new app that analyzes them, could make testing as straightforward as a home pregnancy test, the scientists say. So, you know, your
these smartphones are very smart. I mean, it's a little sticky, yeah. But they're very smart. They're smart and sticky.
I see people just loading up on their phone. What'd you say about the guy loading up on your hot dog? Yeah. Remember that?
Yeah.
The guy's loading up on your hot dog in the back. Yeah. Louis yells at the guy for...
Now this guy's loading up on his phone. And then I could just see, like, this puts a whole new spin on. If someone says, "Can I borrow your phone?" I got to ask him why. Before it was a phone call. Now it's a picture.
I want to test my semen level.
Yeah, I mean, you don't know what he's going to borrow your phone for. Before it was just to make a call. Now it could be an email, a text message. It goes on and on.
The new technology is still a few years away, but the team behind it hopes this new form of testing will make infertility testing both easier and cheaper for men. I mean, do you have the burning need to know what your fertility level is?
You know, and I shouldn't give this kid any ideas on my show, but I will. Yeah, because I'm too... Well, the kid that's coming out with this this accuracy level. Okay, what he should be focused on, because he's a young kid, right? Teenager, did you say? Right?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Okay, he shouldn't be testing the fertility of our sperm. He should be testing the fertility of the woman he's about to go to bed with. So instead of using a rhythm method, he can just maybe take a little, put the thing in there a little bit and just see if that's the wrong time of month to go in there. And then... Test that on your phone. That would make a lot more sense than testing your... Right. We know he's fertile.
But think, you know, if you were like... think back in the day when we were going to bars and stuff, we could have just, you know, said, "Hey, I want to test my sperm. I got my phone here. You mind helping me out? Get a sample?"
Yeah. I never thought of that, but I think there might be some days I just would rather go home with the phone. You know, years ago, they used to say...
You get Siri talking to you dirty.
Years ago, you would say, you know, you go home with the Tribune. That was an old myth. Right, right. The guy, you know, bought that girl drinks all night and he went home with the Tribune. Well, I'd rather go home with my phone sometimes. Seems like a win-win situation.
So, okay, here's their next story, page 39. So I have my phone. I have Google Alerts set up. It alert me anytime there's fireworks stories or anytime there's stories about Fargo. And I also set it to give me any stories about Cabo. And 100% of the time, the Cabo stories were always Lady Gaga suns herself in the beautiful beach, or come to Cabo and stay at the Casa Star. But this one caught my eye because there was finally something of some type of ill repute going on. Mm-hmm. So Mexican authorities say the remains of three people were found in the Pacific resort city of Cabo San Lucas. State prosecutor's office reports that the remains of two men and a woman were discovered late Thursday. The bodies have been dumped at the entrance to an upscale residential area. I hope it wasn't the Pedregal.
I hope not either.
The area is near the resort's marina and its famous rock arch. That's got to
be the Pedregal.
Prosecutors said the victims had not been identified. The grisly discovery came just 4 days after three other bodies were found dumped in another part of the city. The twin resorts of Cabo San Lucas. Oh, the twin resorts. Is that the twin? Is there a twin resort? The twin resorts of Cabo San Lucas and San Jose del Cabo at the southern tip of Baja California principle have been the scene of increasing violence in recent months. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Not good.
Wait, the twin resorts of,
Yeah, they're talking about the two towns. The
resort area. I wonder now, this is the upscale residential area. It's got to be Pedregal.
Yeah, where are your places?
Yeah, well, that's always good for business. But you know what?
They said once they let you in there that...
Things would go down. Yes. The neighborhood's already changing. You know,
got drones flying around.
Funny story. You know, I thought we had speakers on the outside of the house. I could have sworn they were in the plans, and I'm like,
right under your eaves.
They go right underneath the eaves next to them lights. And he's like, no, they weren't in there. He says, "I think you said you didn't want speakers." I'm like, God, I'm a music crazy person.
Music crazy, yeah.
So I'm like, well, all right, it is what it is. So of course, if you just crank the speakers up inside the house, all doors are open anyways, you still
for
hear
you, that's fine.
Yeah, it's fine for me.
Yeah.
But anyways, it wasn't fine for my good guest of last week that came to Cabo San Lucas with me. So we're at Costco, you know, going there to pick up meat for the maid to cook for all of us for a special... one of my customers from Fargo, North Dakota, who happened to be in town.
Really?
So I invited him up to the house and have a little lunch. I said, "Why don't you bring your friends, and I'll make sure the maid makes us all lunch." And it was a really great, great afternoon. It was a good customer. And he had a great time, and his wife was there, and his wife's friend was there as well. And we had a really good time. And my good buddy Phil was with me on the trip, and we're at Costco going to pick up the meat. And then he says, "You know, we should get you one of these nice outdoor speakers." And one other guy was playing with the outdoor speaker at Costco, so we happened to be right there. What a great speaker system. Very reasonable. Even comes with a microphone. So, you know, and
well, but how do you get music to come out of it?
Well, it's Bluetooth. So you could hook it up to your phone or your iPod, you know. Okay. The only thing we couldn't do was we couldn't hook it up as another speaker to the receiver in the house. The receiver can play Bluetooth throughout the house with the iPod, but the speaker outside can only play off the iPod as well. We couldn't hook it up where
so
it can
it
just
all played on one.
Played on one. But
if you're in the house, if you're outside, kinda, you don't need music
in the house. Yeah, we don't. And my father's trying to take a nap in the other room. We don't need to have him because the speakers in the bedroom are blaring, and you know we're trying to blare listen outside.
Right.
So he buys this nice speaker, and it kind of reminded me of the episode when with the Sopranos where they hooked up a couple speakers and they played music all day long from the boat until the guy gave his money back.
When they play like a Dean Martin song.
And we're Dean Martin fans, me and Philly boy, so we're sitting out on the balcony. He's like, let me crank this up. He got cranked up, he's got a microphone. I'm like, hey, no Mexican jokes, you know, and we're just kind of talking back and forth on a microphone, and I go, Philly boy, sing me a song. He starts singing, all of a sudden you hear a neighbor yell out, turn that music down, you know, which, like I say, neighborhood's going to go down. So it was, you know,
like it already has.
It's already aggravated us because I just get to speak and I yell over to him, listen, we're just testing it. We just got it. We're just testing it, you know.
Uh-huh.
And he's saying that the music next door to my house kept him up all night long last night.
Really?
Which I live right next door to the guy and I didn't complain. But you know why? Because I'm not home at night. I am out at night partying with and bonding with the locals.
Right, right.
So, you know, and my, you know, response to him was, you should go out at night more and all of us could have a better time. So, but anyways, and I with the microphone, I could talk to him a lot easier. So, but we already started, you know, just a minor war, but of course I'll win. But, you know, because if I decide to lose, I can always just go to buy more speakers from Costco. So it could almost be like the Sopranos episode where we'd be playing Dean Martin till 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, and since I don't sleep, it's easier for me to do it.
There you go.
But anyway, so we had a good time. But yeah, Philly boy bought this nice speaker from Costco. He liked it so much, and even went out and bought himself one to bring back to his house.
So he couldn't just buy one here in the States?
No, they don't sell them here, which was...
What's the brand name, do you know?
I don't know the brand name, but I think I have a picture of it maybe. But it was just... And it's got even... And me and him are almost identical. It also has a switch that turns on like this little blue LED light that lights up the speaker. I'm like, see, I like the light more than anything. The light and the microphone sold me.
Right. You don't care about how good the fidelity is. You know.
But it also has AM, FM. It has Bluetooth. Right. And it really was very very nice. And it comes on a little tripod stand. Reminds me of some of the fancy equipment you get around here. You know? So I'm like, wow, I like the... reminds me of these microphones. So
what was the we had a nice time though.
Less than $100.
Really?
It was like $85.
Wow. So, how many speakers? Just one?
Just one. Yeah, one speaker sits on a tripod. But I mean, real nice. And all in the backs are all the fancy dials, kind of like this equipment over here. Yeah, same knobs, actually. Same knobs, gray, you know, gray, red.
There you go.
Gray sharp. So yeah, you would... I think you would appreciate it. So
I would.
What's nice is even the best part, it's also rechargeable. So you don't have to have it plugged in. It's, you know, runs on its battery life, and then you plug it into charge, just kind of phone.
Right.
Which I thought was a pretty unique thing. So, it was really nice. We plugged it in by the barbecue grill and, you know, let it charge, and we played music. And then you could also hook up the USB port to it as well to play through something.
Right,
and
so it's
charge.
It's just a little Bluetooth speaker. Is what it is.
Basically.
Yeah.
But also has AM, FM, and...
Oh, it has all... No, yeah. Well, is there AM, FM radios? Well, there has to be in Mexico. Yeah.
Well, no. There's only one station because it's kind of a monopoly drug cartel run thing, you know? It's my music or you're the highway.
La musica. Yeah. Led Zeppelin.
Yeah. It's like my music or the vultures eat you. Yeah. One of the two. Yeah. So
you're going to listen to this, damn it.
The funny thing is you get X-Series radio all the way down to Baja until you get to Cabo. You can't even get that in Cabo.
It just stops at the... It stops. Trump stops everything at the border.
Yeah. No, it stops at Cabo.
Oh, really?
You did all the way down to Baja, middle of the desert. You got beautiful XM radio until you get down to Cabo San Lucas, the town, and now there's no more. You know,
Is it like lower?
Very controlled.
Is it sea level lower or anything? In a valley? I have no idea.
I have no idea. Well,
weird.
It's
you would think
not
you
any lower than. Yeah, I don't know. It's crazy. Oh. So. But yeah, Cabo's got this weird thing. I've inquired about radio stations before in Cabo, and you know, it was almost a dead end street because the one guy, he's just
as a business opportunity.
Yeah, as a business opportunity, but it was a dead end street because you know you can't.
We could have the first.
You can't fight the Chapo radio station out there.
Terrestrial radio station that can carry the fireworks brigade. We got 50 hours of content.
So, anyways, the speaker now we can do the podcast off of the telephone and just listen to ourselves.
Oh, there you go. We sit by the pool, listen to our podcast.
Listen to our podcast.
Oh, there you go. That's what I want to do. Yeah.
Well, it's either you listen to the podcast or you jump over the mountain. So, I mean, we kind of got a captive audience there.
There you go.
So it's kind of good.
All right. So we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 stories about Fargo.
Oh my God.
Pick one or two or whatever. How many? There's the titles. We got. Do we need a theme for? Well, first of all, Fargo News. Maybe do we need a theme for Fargo News? Do you think we just go dry here?
Yeah, we'll just go dry.
All right, there's one here. Open on Sundays. Distracted driving law. Car beat truck crash. Population growth or STD and HIV increase in the last year. What do you want to talk about? All of them? None of them? What do you want to do?
Well, I certainly don't want to talk about the. STDs and
no, so which one you want to talk
about? BD doesn't matter to us.
Distracted driving law. Fargo businesses working on North Dakota open Sundays.
I think the open
aren't the businesses open on Sundays?
No, there's a blue law that you can't open till
like noon or
till
something.
Noon. You know?
Oh yeah, so
and so yeah, we can talk about this because this affects us.
A Fargo businessman, but you're open on Sundays. Does it not count for you?
Well, we open at noon.
On Sundays?
On Sundays,
oh, okay. Mm-hmm. A Fargo businessman is working on an initiated measure to do away with the law that prohibits retail stores from being open before noon on Sunday. The measure comes after the state rejected a bill to make that change. It had earlier passed the House on a second try. They're putting the committee together and hopes to have the initiative's language ready to submit within a couple of weeks. If the language is approved, his group will need to gather 13,000 signatures to get the measure on the ballot. So there you go. There's 39 different exceptions to the law for businesses and business types that are not dictated by this law. So anyway, it looks like they're trying to get the businesses open before.
I mean,
you can't go to Hornbacher's or anything before noon on Sunday.
No, but
I never paid attention. Well, McDonald's is open.
There's restaurants are open. There's like I said, 39 different exceptions for law for businesses and different types. But bottom line is with. All these stores opening up so early and closing late and opening up on the holidays, I kind of thought ever since I've been in North Dakota, it was kind of nice that they have this blue law where you could sleep in a little bit later on Sunday. I don't always think of myself. Obviously, I never think of myself. I always think of the workers. And it's nice to be a worker that could go out on a Saturday night, enjoy himself with his family or his friends, and not have to worry about getting up at 7 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday to go to work at some retail store that everybody basically is in church anyways, and they go for breakfast.
Right.
So it was kind of a nice thing. Like, you wake up with your family, you have family day, and I kind of love the way that they close the streets down in Cabo San Lucas on Sunday so all the kids and families can come out and play in the street and rollerblade and, you know, and walk their dogs and bicycle ride. So I kind of think it's fine for a small town of what, 80,000 people. Do we really need to open up Target?
Is that the population? 80,000 in Fargo?
Yeah, about something like that. So we really need to open up the stores at 8 o'clock in the morning at Target to give what, people more time to do the same shopping they're going to do anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what kills me, like Christmas time, Thanksgiving. You know, how do you have Thanksgiving family dinner when half your family leaves to go to work at some retail store at 4 o'clock in the afternoon?
Right.
For no reason at all.
I mean,
you know. So
I hear you.
I'm in favor of this. No, I don't want to see. I want the blue law.
All right. Well, one more thing. No more stories. We'll just do one more. We do our usual. What would Johnny do? All right. And we've talked about this for quite a while.
I guess the biggest, most listened to What Would Johnny Do and the most well-liked What Would Johnny Do
Was
I responded something. I like to shove that taco in her face and ask her if this is a hate crime. Everyone seemed to rate that very high.
You got a lot of response
to
that
one? Yeah, they understand me completely, and most people who know me felt that's almost identical to what they thought would happen.
All right, and actually, you're responsible for, well, you're not, you are partially responsible. So I think we've talked about it a few times here that... I'm divorced and, I've been paying child support for these many years, over a decade.
Yeah.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars have gone to my ex-wife.
More than I actually made over a decade.
And I remember vividly.
I should have married you. I would have made more being divorced than I do selling all these fireworks. It's amazing.
Hey, now.
I know.
Hey, now.
It's terrible.
So, yeah. So, but I remember vividly the conversation, you know, when I was very tortured with the decision because I didn't want to be divorced. Never thought I would be. And I figured if I don't cheat on her and I provide a good income and all this stuff, why would I get divorced? And I remember, you know, talking to you and you basically saying, no, it'll be fine. Or you said something like, let me go talk to the family. I'll straighten them out.
Yeah. Straighten them out for you. That would Johnny would have done back then. Yeah, but we didn't have that show then.
So anyway, long story short. So now after those many months of child support, years, decades of child support, it's over. I have one check left. I get a 20% raise next month.
Wow, that's
so. Yeah. I have one check left. So what?
Well, you get a 20% raise because
I don't have to pay 20% of my income anymore. Yeah,
perfect. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, how else would you look at it?
Yeah. Oh well, no, I didn't. Yeah, I didn't catch
it. It's tax free to her, not to me. I have to pay tax on it, so it's probably even more.
Yeah.
So then, what would Johnny do if you had as many child support payments as you have, and you have one left? Would you make a big deal out of it? Would you go have a party? How would you commemorate the last in a series of painful $1,000 checks every month to, you know, where it's supposed to be child support, but let's be real. It's, you know,
well, obviously, you know, you've told me some things off the air, you know, and stuff. So basically the child support money was stuff that she was actually living on
All women will tell you.
It's just, you know, I mean, and you would have probably spent that kind of money anyways on your child throughout the years anyways.
I did, yeah.
Well, I mean,
I spent even more. Yeah.
had you still been married, that amount of money probably would have went to, you know, Dean's mayonnaise, as we always talked about, and other things. So definitely, what I would do,
yes,
because I would be very bitter. I'm just, you know, and I hold a grudge. So I would basically send her the last check with a cactus plant.
All right.
And the check would be in the envelope. And on the envelope, I would say, you know, here you go, the last and final check. You've been a real prick. And then put that on the cactus plant. And then she's got a farewell plant.
I like that.
And, you know, the prick is, you know, the plant, you know. So that's what I would do, just to say, you know what, we're done. And, you know, now there are some that say you will not be done.
You are one of them.
I'm one of them.
How do you think I will not be done? I'm not required anymore by law.
No, I understand that. I have this feeling that somewhere along the line you say, well, I had to give Renna more money because of this or that. I just have this feeling because you're such a nice guy. And I just have this feeling that you're going to have to do something, or there's going to be something, or you know, I don't know. I just hope not. So I hope it's your last check.
It's the last.
And I got the cactus plant for you, because right. I mean, I have a bunch of cactus plants, you know, so because there's been a lot of pricks in my life too. So I have a bunch of cactus plants, and so yeah, I definitely think that's what I would do. Put that as a, you know, a little note, and here's a little token of remembrance.
There you go. Well, we have a little token.
Yeah, from one prick to another prick, except my cactus plant.
I like that. From one prick to another prick. There you go. Yeah. And then she can't get mad.
You're making fun of yourself. We've both been evil. We've been fighting all this time.
Yeah,
it's been the last five years, it hasn't been bad.
When a kid gets old enough, nobody fights anymore.
No, I mean, that's the bottom line.
And it's because I never fought, because I just paid everything.
You just pay everything, yeah, you know, exactly. I mean, if you were a deadbeat father, it'd be a whole big different situation, but you're not. And unfortunately, you know, it's like the do-gooders in the world. Sometimes they get, you know,
you get the short stick.
They get the short stick. I shouldn't say the do-gooders in the world. They don't get the people who do the right thing sometimes get the short stick.
Right, you know? Right. Absolutely. As with the house we talked about before.
Yeah.
You could walk away and you know, screw the bank, but you do the right thing, you pay your bills, and then you're going to lose money because you
didn't do it, you know. A funny situation, we were talking because, you know, Phil's you know, you met Phil many times, and he's the mortgage guy, you know. Yeah. And so we were talking about reverse mortgages a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
And because we're sitting around the pool, Phil, you boys smoking a cigar, you know, I'm just drilling them for questions, you know, and all that stuff. And we were talking about reverse mortgage for some reason. And boy, you could have really made out if you did a reverse mortgage with the laws they have. Like, you did a reverse mortgage like 2005.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because the values were high.
Because values were so high, and then the money you have to pay back would be based on the income of the house. I mean, you could have really, mm-hmm. I mean, you could have got all that money in the bank.
Right.
And, I mean, you know, God only knows how many people did a reverse mortgage in 2005 that really benefited, you know. So
right, but basically give away the rights to your house, right?
And no, you don't.
Oh, but you can pay it off, though, if you want.
You can pay it off, but you can pay off 90% of the 95% of the appraised value.
Oh, okay.
Or walk away.
Oh, so you could walk away with all that cash.
That's what I'm saying.
The house in 2008, the house was worth nothing.
Or if you wanted to buy it in 2009, say, you know, your father died or whatever, mm-hmm. you wanted to buy the house back in 2009, you'd be paying 95% of the appraised value.
The new appraised
value. The new appraised value.
Really?
So.
Wow.
I mean, it's kind of like almost like a win-win.
So the reverse mortgage market took a big dump in those times.
Yeah, I mean,
obviously I don't do stuff.
Yeah, it was really interesting to find out, you know, different things. Of course, now you wouldn't have paid a mortgage either from 2005. So instead of
have all that money in the bank.
Yeah, see, like a person in an older person, but I'm not sure how old you got to be to qualify for that. But
I don't know.
An older person.
I don't think you can discriminate. You have to be able. I don't think you can.
So an older person, instead of walking away from his house.
Mm-hmm.
In 2006 or 7 could have, of course it would have benefited you to do it when your house was worth, but even if you did it in 2007,
right?
Like when people were losing their homes, you could have just took a reverse mortgage. Your home values went down after 2007 also.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, you would have made out
either way. It would have done pretty good. So instead of walking away, you could have just did this reverse mortgage.
Holy
and your
cow.
Kids would have had the opportunity, whether they wanted to buy it back or just walk mm-hmm. away from it.
Wow, that's great.
So that really would have been, I was like, wow, this would have really worked out. Had, you know, of course, I'm sure that there were those, kids that, I call them kids, but obviously they're not. But the reason I'm calling them kids is because I'm saying they probably took reverse mortgages on their father's homes. The same guy that discovered all these bundle packages being all bundled up and this is garbage loans.
And they
saw the housing market going to crumble. I bet they talked their fathers into reverse mortgages first.
Yeah, well, yeah, absolutely.
You know, Dad, take a reverse mortgage, pull all your equity out of the house, and boom. So,
all right, yeah, well.
Interesting.
Well, hey, we haven't played this one in a while.
And as one gentleman to another, I just want to say, I really hope you can get Lou Gehrig's.
I say this all the time.
All right.
And people look at me like I'm nasty. I'm like, I'm just repeating Ted's thing. But there is a scene that I tried to look up yesterday. And I want to learn it verbatim. So when someone asks me, what do I do? Or I'm on vacation, what do? I want to say it verbatimly to them.
A scene from Ted?
No, it's a scene from The Godfather.
Okay.
Hyman Roth at the airport.
All right. What does he say?
And he says something like, I'm a retired investor living on a small pension. I just want to retire as a Jew in Israel. You know, so I want to.
All right, we'll find that.
We got to find that.
We'll find that for next episode. That'll be our open for next episode.
So I want to, I want to learn it. So when someone asks you, John, what do you do for a living? See, like when I go to the bank, for instance.
Yeah.
And they say, can I have your ID? Yes. And then they say, what do you do for a living? You know, I would like to say I'm just a retired investor trying to. And I love the. He says it in a Jewish voice. Says, you know, Hyman Roth, great guy. You know, played basically that was modeled after Meyer Lansky, of course.
Uh huh.
But so I want to learn.
I'll
want
to
get that one.
We'll
and then I got to put that on my, you know, CD and just drill that into my head. So when the bank says, what do? I'm going to just say, you know, and he says, I just want to live my life as a retired Jew in Israel. And that's what I want to do.
There you go. Well, it's good. This is fun.
Yes.
I'm excited. The fireworks season is coming up. You got to be excited.
I am too. It's time to go back to work.
You got the dealer show.
Is May 6th.
May 6th. This will be out before then.
Food and drinks. And then everyone is welcome.
I don't think I'm going to be there for the dealer show, but I'm going to go up there for the PGI. I don't want to drive up to Fargo three times.
Oh, that's right. PGI is in Fargo this year.
Right,
yeah,
right. So I'll probably drive up. I won't come up for the dealer.
We probably won't have much to do at the PGA other than record a podcast.
Well, that's my thinking. Yeah.
And then I can slam them for doing something so stupid.
And,
yeah, perfect.
And I usually would set aside the dealer show for when we would do our skit.
Yes.
All right. So do we still want to do another skit?
I
was thinking of two. I have a Two and a Half Men that could fit. You want to do a Two and a Half Men?
We could probably do a Two and
you
a Half Men.
You want to be Charlie? It's only a half hour.
Yeah, I'll do Charlie. Yeah,
you'll be Charlie. Yeah,
of course, I'll be Charlie. Why would I want to choose any other character?
Did you ever see the one where he pretends to be gay to get in with good with the jingle writer?
That'd be something I would do.
We're going to do that. I'll do that. All right, we're going to do that one. All right, so we'll do that. That's only a half hour, so we'll do one of those. And when I come up there for the PGI and. We got a bunch of, but we'll do one more of these before I come down to Fargo. In June,
oh, definitely.
So, yeah, because this is only April. So
April, yeah.
Yep. All right. Well, it's been fun. Everybody's excited. The fireworks season's coming up.
I can't wait.
I paid $5 for these, so I'm going to get my use out of it.
Okay.
If you have information about wiretaps at the Trump Tower, or you just want to ask John and Ron a question, email them at fireworksbrigade@gmail.com.